Good afternoon, everybody. And boy, I was hoping I was going to see some people decked out in Christmas colors, and indeed I haven't. Even I've tried to, with everything here, trying to help a little thing, because we're celebrating Christmas in July this weekend. Kind of an unusual thing, but I'm going to talk a little bit about how some of the celebrations of Christmas and how this isn't as unusual as you might think that it would be. So we thank you for being a part of this. Because this is a unique celebration, we're going to do some unique things. So after worship tonight, we're going to spend a little bit of time with time of fellowship. Back in what's now our fellowship area, we used to call it Narthex Number 2. We're going to start calling it our fellowship area because that is indeed where we're going to meet as God's people for that. So we thank you for joining us tonight. If you start looking off to the sides, especially towards the front, you'll notice that the stacking of shoes has begun. Our Shoes for the Souls campaign, and this year it's not just shoes, it's actually both socks and undies, and we're actually off to a really good start. We've got some people that I understand are gathering some more. We need to get these things gathered as quickly as we can. We need probably, besides this weekend, 2 more weekends. By that third weekend, 3 weeks from today, we're just about to the point then where we're going to be getting into the registrations for the schools, when we'll need to get all these to them. And so by that time, we will have had our dedication for all of these shoes. So if you want to help us, and I'm just told that right now, all of these stores are in a full back-to-school mode, and you can get things at really good prices right now. So if you haven't already gone to help us, picking up even a few pairs of some things for us. The hope, the preference this year, last year was for slightly larger sizes for some of our slightly older children. This year it is for the younger sizes for most of our really young children, like kindergarten through about third grade is our target this year for most of those kids. So it is a wonderful program that we share each and every year for that. So also, just a reminder that besides Christmas in July, we're also going to be celebrating Easter in August. That's 3 weeks from today. We won't be doing quite the number of things that we do here, but just like we're still taking your favorite songs that you have asked for, and that's going to be the Christmas carols we're going to sing today and the Easter hymns in 3 weeks that we will sing also as well. We've got some people that we need to keep in our prayers. By now, Bob Ferguson has been hospitalized up at North Bay, and his health is very concerning. Please keep him and that family in our prayers. And also, in the midst of it, Ivo Christopher is going to be having some special surgery this coming week. That's also at North Bay, and it's pretty serious surgery, so we also need to keep him in our prayers. And then finally, Larry de Blasi was supposed to have surgery this past week, and he has been released from the Moffitt Cancer Center, which is down by USF, and we need to keep him and that family also in our prayers during this time. So in the midst of other things here, we pray for the people that are going away, sometimes for short times, sometimes for long, and to keep them safe. And then one final announcement is that we've got the people that ordered script, the script orders, we will have some ready for whoever placed some orders last weekend. We'll have those ready tonight. If you want to order some more of those faith cards, which is what we call them, you'll have the opportunity to do so next weekend. We'd like more people to be participating in that program. Okay, please let us know that you were here. Fill out the faith fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. We do keep track of all of those things, even on our Saturday night services. Our order of worship this evening is based from Divine Service Setting 4. That's in our Lutheran service books. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he returns to be our eternal King. Through the same Prince of Peace and Lord of Lords, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Redeemed, restored, and ready to serve our Lord. Let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which lightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me." And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. We just heard a moment ago my words. We have all received grace upon grace. That's our text for this evening. But before we get any further, we had to pass out a little quick Christmas trivia quiz. Let's go through a couple of these. Even today, Christmas is not celebrated on the same day around the world. True or false? That is true. Yes, the Greek Orthodox Church still celebrates what we call Epiphany. That's their Christmas. That's where this whole business of the 12 days of Christmas came from. Christmas to Epiphany. You know, it's interesting. Almost all of our celebration of Christmas now includes mostly days coming up to Christmas. I mean, we use the celebration of Advent, yes, to prepare us for Christmas, but also as part of our celebration of Christmas. Back then, you wouldn't even put up a Christmas tree until December 25th. Now, once December 25th is done, it's just a question of when are you going to start taking things down. It's the reality of today. In the Middle Ages, Christmas celebrations were usually very orderly and solemn, beginning and ending with church services. True or false? Well, unfortunately, that's false. And look, if you got to know, the answers are on the back of your sheet. Maybe a couple of you spotted that already. These celebrations, while they did begin with church in the morning, turned into rowdy and raucous drinking and rioting gatherings, a lot like some of today's Mardi Gras celebrations. In fact, there's a, for good reason, that was used as kind of a parallel, because there's a lot of similarities between the two. From 1659 to 1681, the celebration of Christmas was outlawed in Boston, and lawbreakers were fined 5 shillings. You can't make stuff like, I couldn't make something like that up if I tried. That is absolutely true. Now, you know, there's always jokes about, you know, back in the day, Boston would have banned Pinocchio, but they're just, Boston banned a lot of things. But the simple fact is, mostly because of the, if you'll pardon the pun, the hangover from question number two, what it used to be years before, they would have nothing to do with that. They wanted Christmas to be something more than what it had been previously. Christmas has been an official holiday in the United States for less than 150 years. And you almost probably had to look on the back to realize, wow, that's true. Not by much. In fact, at Christmas 2020, we will celebrate 150 years of Christmas being an official celebration in the United States of America, but it didn't happen until 1870. Remarkable thing, that, you know, the things that we take for granted, that sometimes we must assume must go back decades, even centuries, some of it not nearly so far. Christmas was virtually never celebrated anytime, anywhere, for the first 300 years after Christ. 200, or excuse me, true or false? Believe it or not, nobody paid much attention to birthdays back then. A lot of times, if they had to celebrate a day, the Christians would celebrate the date of a person's baptism, not the date of a person's birth. And they felt like the dates of the death of saints were far more important than whatever birthdays that there might have been. So that a number of scholars reject that Christmas actually took place around December 25th, the majority leaning towards a time in the spring. That's true. The reason for that has to do with the herding of sheep, which apparently does not happen with much frequency around the time of, you know, around the time of late December. There isn't much herding of sheep going on back at that time. And that was true then as well as today. But that is a piece of trivia, not much more than that. Okay, finally, Christians are responsible for adopting many, if not most, of the traditions utilized in Christmas today, even if they came from other celebrations or cultures, and even if they weren't associated previously with anything Christian. True or false? That is true. And so we learn a few things about what Christmas is like, that Christians have been putting together little things, some of them even from pagan celebrations, not because they're on the wrong track or whatever else, but because Christians saw how important it was that even if we didn't have the date right, that even if we'd be celebrating this in some different way, the important thing is that we need to celebrate the birth of Christ. It was such an important moment because of what it gave way to, how long people had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And all of a sudden, you know, you're waiting, and for generations. Now, I can only imagine, you know, I've been teaching the catechism for the better part of 35 years. And just imagine if the catechism that I had said that one time soon, now, Messiah's coming. And then all of a sudden, one day, he's here. Well, for one thing, you'll have to throw that book out and replace it with another one. But you've been teaching it for so long, and you've been getting people excited, and you've been telling people, this is something really important. We don't know when it's going to come, but when it comes, this is going to change the life of every person, even those that don't even know who he was. And that's exactly what happened. And so The celebration of Christmas isn't something that has to adhere to certain things, but there are probably certain guidelines that we want to make for ourselves when it comes to celebrating Christmas, which is why we can have a celebration of Christmas in a month like this. For example, can you imagine a Christmas celebration that begins in the morning? I mean, you might be able to imagine it in Florida, but maybe not so much in a place like Michigan or North Dakota. The day begins with a parade. And then after the parade all gathers in what is a central outdoor stadium where they have a gigantic worship service. And then after that, then they have got these things where games are played, and they have celebrations of family and food and some of the most interesting things that you would ever see. And then the celebration is culminated in the evening, once the sun goes down, which is quite late, with fireworks. You ever seen the celebration of Christmas like that? Because if you live in Australia, that's what they do. And why? Because Australia is in the southern hemisphere. Their Christmas Day will have pretty much the weather that our 4th of July would have. So they celebrate Christmas like the 4th of July. Because, you know, December 25th is December 25th, even if the weather is far different in one place than what we're used to in some other places. And so there's a couple guidelines that we want to remember. Number one is, regardless of when, as Christians, we wanted to make sure that we celebrated this. There are really no guidelines with the exception of one. I'll get back to that in just a moment. But to forget about a day when all of a sudden what we had been waiting for, and now Christ has finally been born. Now, the work that he is going to do won't begin for a number of years. The most important thing that he came into this world to do is decades away yet. The story that needs to be written about that person who would eventually have his own name, his own personality, his own town that he grew up in, his own reputation. All of those things are yet to come. And yet, it had to start. And it was clearly important enough that angels appeared to shepherds by night to give them the news of good tidings of great joy, which are for all people. If it's important enough to the angels, it needs to be important enough to us. Which brings us to something that we also should remember, is that somehow the celebration of Christmas, no matter how we celebrate it, has got to be focused around one thing. And that is the reason for the season: Christ himself. I find it interesting that more and more today, people are finding ways to do all of the different types of celebrating that kind of run around the celebration of Christmas, while not even thinking about, not even caring about, what the real reason for the season is. What is it that we're celebrating anyway? We're celebrating a Savior. A Savior who was laid in a manger. A Savior who has come to us. He is Christ the Lord. And even as a sign was given to those shepherds of where it was and how they would find the Savior, we have signs all over the place that remind us we need to come seeking the Savior, understanding he is not far from any of us, as the scriptures tell us to do. And then finally, we need to remind ourselves, what is the celebration of Christmas really all about? It's not just about somebody who had been foretold for a long time and the personality and all the things I've been talking about right now. It's about God, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And didn't just make his dwelling among us. Died a death for you that he himself did not have to make. The price of sin had to be paid for somehow. That is not a pleasant story. It is an ugliness that each and every one of us has to face, and that had to be dealt with somehow, and that's what God did. His son took on human form and then was crucified on a horrible death on a cross so that now our sins could be removed, so that now we could be made right with God, so that now we can genuinely celebrate not just Christmas, but every day can be a celebration of whatever moment of Christ, Christmas, Easter, that we want to make, because it was all made possible by a God who loved you, who cared for you, and who understood that he's the one that had to take the steps necessary to make you right with him again. And he did. And so then, whatever it is that as we gather for Christmas, for celebrations, that even in the midst where we had to come in and hopefully that we were trying to find some short sleeve stuff that we could wear because it was going to be awfully warm getting here for worship tonight. The reason that we have gathered here is that a Savior has come into the world and defeated death for us. A Savior has come in and given us something, a greater celebration than all the celebrations of the world combined, who gives us reason to sing. Sing Christmas carols or whatever it is that we want to sing. Who gives us reason to spend some time together in family and as the family of faith. And even during the difficult times, which do not take a break even at Christmas, shows us that there is light in the midst of a great darkness. One of the reasons that Christmas is celebrated on December 25th, my friends, is right after the winter solstice, you know, right after we have just recognized what is, for us, the shortest day of the year. There's a few days where it does seem like, just as you follow the calendar of the length of days and so forth, but December 25th was the day where all of a sudden, for the first time, a tiny little bit of extra light was added. It takes a few days after the first day of winter before things start to open up just a little bit. But on that day is the first apparently noticeable day where the slightest bit of extra light is there, and the light just continues to grow brighter and brighter and brighter, not only outside, but inside of our hearts. That's what Christmas is for all of us, is a celebration of light, of a light that shines in us that the darkness is never going to be able to overcome. Okay, I am content now, after this service today, to not even talk about Christmas until we get to the real celebration. Actually, I'm one of those people that, if you like want to be the, one of those people posting on Facebook how many days it is until Christmas, you've annoyed me. Me personally, but that's fine. We'll find ways to celebrate all of what God has done for us throughout the year. But no matter what the celebration is, as Christmas Christians, Easter Christians, every day for us is a celebration because Christ has defeated death for us and we walk in the promise of eternal life. And from him, we have received grace upon grace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith then and go through all of the things that Jesus did for us in the words of the Apostles' Creed. As you are able, please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Let us pray for the whole people of God and for all people according to their needs. Please note the special prayer response that is up on the screen. For the faithful proclamation of Christ, who came into this world as a lonely child, but also came to save us from our sins, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom forever extended. As we lift up our prayers, O come, let us adore him. For this congregation, its mission, its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we in generosity share in the special gifts that God has first given to us, that we may do the work that is done to do. For the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, as we lift up our prayers, O come, let us adore him. For those who have wandered from the faith, those who do not know of what the message of Christ in Christmas is really all about, for those who find darkness and are unable to see the light that comes to us from God himself, that the Holy Spirit would use us to bring them back to the Heavenly Father. As we lift up our prayers, O come, let us adore him. For all who serve in worthy occupations, professions, arts, and sciences, that they may share as they show forth the blessings that God has given, as he has given them grace upon grace, as they've also valued their service, as they are given those special gifts through their vocations. As we lift up our prayers, O come, let us adore him,
Christ the Lord.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, unemployment, loneliness, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them. For those who are sick, facing hospitalization or facing special challenges that are coming forth in their life, we pray on behalf of Robert Ferguson, on behalf of Ivo Christopher, on behalf of Larry de Blasi, and on behalf of someone in our own life that is in special need of the special help and comfort that you give, or someone known only to you, that we now lift up in a moment of silence. That God would grant healing to bear their infirmities with patience and grace. As we lift up our prayers, O come, let us adore him. For those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, that they may always remember the giver of every good gift and give him heartfelt thanks, for those celebrating in birthdays or anniversaries, and also for all who partake this night of the most special gift that has been given to us of all, Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and the renewal of life and a foretaste of the feast to come. As we lift up our prayers, O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the birth, the life, the sufferings, and the death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he now ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth, that each day may be for us a special celebration of Christmas, that we may celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. And as our Savior has taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.